Father God, we thank you so much that your Bible is real. We thank you so much that it's true. We thank you so much that it's reading our lives and our hearts, that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. Our joints and our heart are separated and bare and laying before it. And now we ask you, great potter, to put us back together. We are just clay. You are the potter. May your word abide in us and we abide in it, that we would bear much fruit. Speak to us today, God, that our lives would be changed forever, forever, by the power of your word. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Verse 1, chapter 6 says, "Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?' But Jesus answering them said, 'Have you not ever read this, what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? Now how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, "The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath."'" Give me your attention, please. Let me explain to you. I can go through the basic details of this, but what happened is the Lord and his disciples were going through the field, and they were taking the grain heads off of the wheat, and they were going like this, and they were popping off the grain and eating it because they had served, they were faithful, and these religious leaders at the time looked at them and said, "You know, the Bible says you shouldn't do this, and the Bible says you shouldn't do that, and the Bible says you shouldn't do this." Now, I could give you specific Bible verses from Deuteronomy and Leviticus that show that it is actually legal. There is a process called gleaning that was actually allowed to do. And referring back to David, David was on the run from Saul, and he actually went to the house of God. He went to the temple, and the priest actually gave him the showbread. With a few exceptions, he said to him, "Listen, as long as your guys have been, you know, pure and holy, they could have the bread." "Oh, no, they've been." And so he gave him the bread. But for the lack of technical aspect of exactly what was going down, let me explain to you the heart of what's happening here. And this is what we're going to look at today. There's two types of mindsets when you come to Christianity. There's the physical and the spiritual. The physical, you come in here, and if there's nothing that's happened in the spiritual that brought you here, or to any church for that matter, you look and you go, "Well, that's great. Now I got to change the way I spend my money. I got to change what I do with my body. You have to make all these changes because that's what these other guys are doing. You look at me, and after 23 years of walking with the Lord, you say, "Well, I'm the husband of but one wife. I'm faithful to my kids. I work the same job." You look at those things, you go, "Well, I guess that's what I got to do." That's what being a Christian is. And that is a faulty error. One cannot accompany the other, for if you've not had the heart change, then the physical change does almost nothing for you. And that was what happened with the Pharisees. The Pharisees had this religiosity, and in their certain church that they went to, the more you had it together, the more obviously God was with you. It's like this. And now this is one of the mindsets. Now, I don't want to dwell here because I do this a lot, but listen, here's what I'm talking about. Do you know that some people truly believe when you go to a small church, you're going to a church that has less God in it? That of the sign of a big church is the sign of God there. And no matter what level you believe that on, it's false. You cannot even entertain that idea to say a big church means more God. A little church means less God. If that guy would do this in his preaching, more people would show up. If that guy would do this in his preaching, less people would show up. If either one of those facts are true, then there's less God at both churches. Do you understand that? If I do anything to make more people come to this church, if I do anything to make more people come to this church, I've lost already. I'm already out of the spirit. It's already gone. And you take any big church you want, whether it be Fort Lauderdale, Church by the Glades, First Baptist, whatever church you want to choose. If that guy started preaching a message from the Bible that caused people to leave, that would probably be more God than the other side. Do you understand that? And getting people to understand, when I tell you the mindset is so prevailing in the American churches especially, but all over the churches of the world, big church, God, we have a pastor. This is America's pastor. His name is Rick Warren. His name is whatever. Like, you understand? God hired shepherds for these reasons. Here, the Pharisees are looking at him going, dude, don't you know how we do things here? They're telling God's son, right? I love that. God sends his son, he says, do me a favor, show these people what Christianity is really all about, what a changed heart's really about. And he goes through and he takes his guys who are hungry from serving God. If you look at the past verses we've been studying the last couple of weeks, they've done nothing but day from morning, noon to night, going about town to town, preaching the gospel, hearing me. They were just hungry. Well, I'm sorry, it was a Saturday. You don't do that on the Sabbath. People of God were hungry. And he goes through the grain fields and he does a little gleaning. And the Pharisee's like, dude, you don't do that on the Sabbath. I'm sorry, we don't talk out loud in church. Okay, I'm sorry. At our church, you don't wear that. I'm sorry. At our church, you don't say that. You're being religious, aren't you? You're being... Your physical has changed, but has your spiritual changed with it? Now, keep this in mind, and this is so important. That's not to say that doing the physical things is bad, but if you're doing it for the wrong reason, like I want to overcome sin in my life, right? So let's say I have a heart full of greed, and I will do anything possible to fight this greediness. If I'm doing it in the flesh, if I'm doing it without the heart change, there has to be at some point in time the desire to do it because it's right in God's eyes and not the desire to do it because I think that you guys will think more of me or then I'll really be close to God if I do that. Does anybody not understand what I mean when I say that? There is that fine line that exists in our life between doing it for the right reason and doing it for the wrong reason. I hope it makes sense. Let's continue. And it will be illustrated. Verse 6, now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath that he might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man who had a withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and disgust with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now, a little commentary on this you can read later on is Mark chapter 3. It's the same story. It says this, that he asked them this question. In Mark 3, the Lord says to them, tell me, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? And he says they didn't answer him, and that he looked at them with wrath in his heart, that he was so, don't you get it? You're supposed to be shepherds of my people, and you don't get it? And then when he healed the guy with the withered hand, it says they plotted how they might kill him. Wait a second. So a guy comes along in your church and he does things a little bit different maybe than somebody else. And you're mad at him because he's not following the same pattern. You know, when I left my church, my pastor, I had a talk with him. And he said to me, Ryan, don't ever be caught up with style. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, you got saved here. All you know is Calvary Chapel. 3 fast songs, 3 slow songs. Preach a message, altar call, go home. He goes, don't ever think that people and churches that do things a little different are bad. He said, you know, they got some great churches out there. My pastor taught me well. He said, they got some great churches out there. And maybe they do prayer first, or they do a slow song first, or they have an offering first, or don't ever let the style of what people do discourage you from thinking that they might not be your brother, sister. Or there's some churches who, you know, there's an old funny joke. How do you tell the difference between a Presbyterian church, a Catholic church, and a Pentecostal church? A Pentecostal church, they jump over their pew. A Pentecostal church, they jump over the pew. A Catholic church, they don't sit in the pew at all. And what was the other one? A Presbyterian church, they fall asleep in a pew. Hey, my father's a Pentecostal, don't sit. It's just a silly joke. Relax, it's okay. They're all still our brothers. Our sisters are there. Well, are you saying that Catholics are brothers and sisters? I say there's a lot of brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church and a lot of not brothers and sisters in the Presbyterian Church. Both ways it works, because it doesn't matter what you do. It matters where your heart is with God. Now then, of course, if your heart has changed, your deeds will follow. But please don't think that your deeds are what's going to make God love you more. God loves you more because he loves you first. And that's where we get to struggle. And this is what happened. And he's trying to explain to us what could happen to you if you don't have the heart change. These Pharisees, for generations, they had all of the deeds and actions down. But you know what they didn't have down? Love in their heart. There was no difference in their heart. They looked at somebody and they said, excuse me, we don't do that here. Excuse me, have you not read the scripture? You shouldn't lie with this thing or do with that thing. So, whoa, 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 whoa. You got the whole thing down? You know, you change a whole lot more people with love than you do with hate. And they were like, this guy's got to go. We start preaching that message, a lot of these people are going to leave, and they're going to leave with their money. And if they leave with their money, we ain't got nothing. Because that's what we really want, is their money. If each one of you guys would just put $100 today in that box, man, I could double my salary tomorrow. I don't have a salary. That was a joke. Watch how he continues to hammer the whole idea down. Verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out in the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom also named apostles. Simon, who was also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Now, we can, and because we're going in overview here and we're looking at the heart of the whole thing, I don't want to break down the whole thing. There's so much here we can actually dissect and go step by step through this. And we can be real Bible geeks with it, which sometimes we do. But today I want you guys to see the overall heart of what he's trying to say here. So we'll do a study on the apostles when we get to John or something like that, because he does a whole list and why some of them would name one thing one time, some name the other thing, and how each one of them fell into place. But what's most key here is he spent all night praying. He was in prayer all night to God just so he can choose the right men that he wanted to lead. Now, who did I talk to about this the other day? I was talking to Matt about this. Remember we were talking about this? Please remember this. Jesus Christ, when he was choosing his apostles, did not choose leaders. He chose followers. And that's really, really important, because followers always make the best leaders. If you're not a good follower to start, you'll never be a good leader. Do you understand that principle? My brothers in here, I encourage you to really roll that around your head. You know, people have this thing that they say men were born leaders. No, God makes true leaders. God makes true leaders. And he started here by taking the best followers. He knew which men would follow him. And then if you see that all except the Apostle John were such amazing leaders in the church that they were all martyred for their faith later on. But again, I don't want to go there. So verse 17, he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of his disciples. Oh, that is such an amazing verse. He stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Again, if we were studying deeper, here's what we would look at, guys. there were those who were sick and there were those who had unclean spirits. So there are some people in Christianity who believe if you're sick, it's just an evil spirit. But there are also some people who think if you have an evil spirit, you must also be sick. And here he kind of separates the two. He goes, listen, there are some people who are just sick because they're sick, and there are some people who have evil spirits because they're evil spirits. And we can never, ever think that we know both things to be true. Do you understand what I'm saying there? For you guys that are into that, the ultra-spiritual side of that thing, just keep that in the back of your Noah. But continuing, verse 18, as well as those who were tormented by unclean spirits, they were healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. I want you to know that no matter who it is, no matter when it is, no matter how it is, and no matter whether you're sick, have an evil spirit or anything, if you reach out to touch Christ Jesus, you will be healed. You might not be healed of your evil spirit, but you will be healed of your sickness. You might not be healed of your sickness, but you will be healed of your evil spirit. You will get your healing from God the way He wants to heal you, in the way that will work best in His kingdom for you. Now, I realize that that is really confusing to say, but understand this. Our healing doesn't always come in the way we want it to. I've prayed for many people and had them die afterward. Oh, good job. Where were you on that one, Ryan? It's like Anita said to me before, Ryan, you keep praying for me and the wrong thing keeps happening. It's like, you're looking at the wrong guy. I don't have nothing to do but to call out to God. And that is how God works. When you go to God, He promises you two things. Number one, He will forgive your sin, and that is number one. And number two, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who called according to your purpose. The sovereign hand of God being upon you, you can know that if you reached out, touched the hem of Christ's garment, if power, that His power will change your life. Might not be the way you want it to. You might want God to do something miraculous in your relationship, and He might split you up. And that might not be what you want. Now, that's not to married couples. That's the couples that aren't married. Because if you're married, God wants, the Bible says specifically, God hates divorce. Keep that in mind. Then He lifted up His eyes, verse 20, and He said, now let me explain to you, one more time. What we're about to do now is we're going to read the perfection of the kingdom of God living. He looked at the Pharisees, disgusted that they were the religious leaders of the time. He looked much like we look at Christian television today and go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Did you just do that on national TV and say that was the name of Christ? Are you kidding me? And then we watch another pastor fall. We watch another. We'll watch a woman pastor now. Let's all watch the new woman pastor. But she's really a good speaker. Yeah, but the Bible says that women aren't supposed to be pastors. Well, what kind of thing is that to say? A woman could be anything that a man could be. No, she can't. Well, yes, she can. No, she can't. Are you saying that men are better than women? Not by a long shot. My wife's much better than me. She's smarter than me. She knows the Lord more than me. Well, then why don't you make her the pastor? Because the Bible says a woman can't be a pastor. Well, I think that's wrong. Go to another church. We want to tell you. I follow what the thing says. It ain't me. There's a difference in importance and performance. Is there not? Is there not? He was disgusted with the whole idea of what Judaism, we apply our Christianity, but he was disgusted with the whole thing Judaism had become. Now you have to have a certain look. Now you have to have a certain talk. Now you have to have a certain style. Everything that you're doing is completely opposite. I want to take out your heart of stone and I want to put in a heart of clay, he said to Ezekiel the prophet. I don't really care how you look, how you dress. I don't care about any of that stuff. And here's the application, right? Here's the application. We have people that come to church that are smoking pot. We have people that come to church that are living together. We have people that come to church that might be homosexual. We have people that come to church who might be pornoholics, who might be prideful, who might be full mouth full of cursing and bitterness, you know, who might have unforgiveness. We have all these people and we lump them together, and you know what we call them all? Sinners. But you know what's not on the outside of that sin ball? Gayness. Yeah, that's the sin. God, no, we got to take those gay people and get him out of here. Or here's the other one. Let's turn it over. Oh, drinkers. We don't like alcohol. You come in here smelling like beer. We don't want to. Well, are you saying that every those things are the same? Gayness, alcohol, pride, alcohol, pornography, whatever sexual deviant, physical deviant, emotional deviant, whatever it is, it's sin. And you got to take it and give it to God. You understand what I'm saying there? But at no point in time did we ever judge one sin above another. All sin God forgives. Right to that? And here's what we tell people who are coming here. See, here's what. You keep doing exactly what you're doing. But here's what I want you to add to your life. Read the Bible, spend time in prayer, go to church, and worship God. You add those four things to your life, and then why don't you let God do whatever he wants to do. And in the meanwhile, be as gay as you want to be, drink as much beer as you want, smoke as much, do any of that stuff. Do as much as you want. I ain't a cop. I could care less. Here's what I care about, though, your spiritual health. Are you reading the Bible? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you showing up to church? I have some worship music in your car. Because if you do those four things, I guarantee you God will deal with everything else he wants to deal with in his time without being judged by some sin sniffer. What are you doing in the fields plucking that? I see you over there. I see you back there. I saw you and your disciples on the Sabbath eating it. You came to church. I saw it. And God's like, are you kidding me? God's heart was broken. Why do you think he sent his son down? But now, the hardest part of today's study and the last part of it is this. He tells them exactly what a true changed heart for Christ has looked like. And now here's our penchants. You ready? Here's I'm going to read to you these things affectionately called the Beatitudes. And we're all going to be convicted to the bone. And if anybody's not, they're just a liar. And that's another sin you could add to your list. Because these things called Beatitudes, this is what the kingdom of heaven is going to look like. This is what it truly means to have a broken heart for Christ. Now, some of you guys, you're going to, as I read them, you're like, man, I got that one. And you say, praise God. God, fill me up so that I can move on to the next one. But if you start looking at these things and say, well, Pastor Ryan will know and he'll make me a deacon if I do this one, or he'll make me a deaconess if I do this one, or they'll think more of me if I do this one, or he'll let me teach next week. Man, just love God and let him do the work. Don't love God. You know, I know some people who still struggle with cigarettes. And they're smoking 15, 20 years. And why is it in the church we think that is like, that's the immediate sign that that person, they're not walking with the Lord? You see him outside smoking, saying, we think, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Listen, what are we here? What have we become if we do that to each other? So God deals with one thing and one person in his time. He deals with another thing, another person. He says, I know that. Listen, I know, and I know this might sound some crazy to you guys, some of you guys, I know some gay people who love the Lord Jesus more than you ever imagined loving him. And it's their struggle. And God will deal with it in their time. Who are we? What have we become if we judge God's people? What's our job? Come on. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Did you guys see those first three? So he says you should be blessed. You could circle the word for blessed, and right next to it, happy. That's literally the transliteration of blessed, happy. So you should be happy when you're poor. because in the kingdom of heaven you won't be. Be like, I'll scratch that one off my list. Not happy about being poor. Blessed are you when you're hungry, for you should be filled. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a foodie. Scratch that one off my list. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Well, I've gotten pretty weepy since I've been walking with the Lord. Like, it was like a bad thing to cry in my house. My father was like, suck it up, boy, we don't do that here. So for 20-something years, I don't think I cried once. I came to the Lord now. God's been such a crazy thing in my heart. My wife will come home and she'll be like, are you crying? No! What are you watching? It's a commercial about a father and a daughter, and she lets him drive the car, and she goes from a little girl to the thing. And it's a commercial? Subaru? It looks like Elena. Look at her. I gave Elena a Subaru when she was 17. I got that one. Blessed are you when men hate you. Got that one. Blessed are you when women hate you. Got that one too. This is a tough one for some people, because if you're like some of my brothers here, we're confrontational. When people hate us, we actually revel in it. We kind of dig it. That, you know, that you really offended that guy. Yeah, that sucks for him. But there are people I know who have that struggle, and it's almost like they want everybody to like them. Everybody's got to like me. And if everybody doesn't like me, it's like, and he says here, listen, be careful. You should actually be happy when some men hate you. If you're in work and you have your Bible on your desk and they're not inviting you out, I mean, if you're part of a gym, you guys have heard some of the stories of the things that have happened in my life strictly because of my relationship with the Lord. And here's what he says in that day. Look at verse 23. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. The less people like you here, the more God likes you there when it's for his sake. Isn't that pretty cool? Now, and especially the ladies, for some of you ladies, that's no great comfort. You know, I just want people to like you. Some people I just want everybody to like me. You can't make everybody happy. It's a virtual impossibility. Your relationship with the Lord is going to cost you friends and family. The Lord Jesus said, you think I came to bring peace on earth? Nay, I brought a sword, Jack. And your mother might hate you. Your son-in-law, brother might, you. People are going to hate you only because you love me. He said, and when that happens to you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to jump up and down. I want you to leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For in like manner, their fathers did the prophets. So people that hate God hated the prophets. So you're relating to Isaiah. Hey, guys, does anybody ever hear what happened to Isaiah? This is a great story. They liked him so much, they laid him down on a table, and they cut him in half, starting here. That's how much they liked him. And you think, because I'm sitting here watering it down for you, do they exclude you from going out? I'll give you some more water for your little life. Here's some more water. Let's water down the word for you. Back in the day, and in the day coming, when they hate you for Christ's sake, you're going to die. They sawed him in half. Because it's happening in the Middle East today. Crucifixion. More Christians have died in the last 100 years because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus than in all 1900 before. In the last 100 years, more Christians have died for their faith in Jesus Christ than all 1900 years since him. Isn't that crazy? You ain't hearing about that on TV, are you? Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Don't like that one. Okay, so now he goes from blessed to woes. You have woes and you have wheels. This is your woe. This is when God says, not good, boy. Not good, sister, daughter. Ready? Woe unto you who are rich, for you have your if you have received your consolation. Now, what you can do is you could circle that word for rich, and next to it you can write every American. We have no idea what poverty is in this country. And you've been, I don't know, if you've been to some, you go to the Allegheny Mountains and you see people who are really impoverished. If you're like me, you're from New York and you've seen some serious ghetto, rich compared to people in the world. The vast majority of the world lives on less than $10 a month, guys. Don't ever think, he says, you know what? And here's the application for the verse that I use in my heart. Too much is given, much is required. I have been blessed so much. Let me tell you, I'm gonna be like Mayweather, just giving it away. You have some, you could have some, you could have some. Why? Because the Bible says, woe to me if I'm rich. And I got so much. So I'm gonna use as much as I can. So what am I supposed to do? Well, foster care, adoption, financially support missionaries, ministries, people in need. You can adopt a single mom. We have a lot of single moms in our church, single sisters. You have see another family who might be struggling and they got kids. Why don't you finance their college fund? Pay for somebody else's college? Yeah, why? Because God will reward you if you do it. What if I don't want to do it? And you just said that the whole thing was the heart is changed. That's exactly it. If your heart's not there, then don't do it. But if you are in that place now where you are, as he says, if you are mourning, man, I know I'm not living up to this. I know I've got a woe on me. Well, do something about it. Do you understand what I'm talking about now where I said to you, it's the heart change that makes the difference? You can't come here and go, oh, listen, here's what I'll do, Johnny. I'm going to finance your kids' college. I'm going to pay for your wedding because I'm rich and I just want to make sure. And the Bible says, no. That you ain't getting nothing from God with that heart. It's that burning inside you that goes, man, I know I got this. It's this 1 John 3:17 where he says, how can you see the world around you in need and you close up your heart and say that the love of God exists in you? How can you do that? You understand what I'm saying? It's that heart change. That's why come in here with all your sin, all your mess. Don't clean up before you get here. Don't come in here and look at the people around you and go, man, I gotta be. Don't do that. Just come in here. That's it. Just sit down there, start reading, start listening, start worshiping. Let God do the change. And as God changes the heart, one little thing at a time. You see how many of these things I had to check off? Nope, that ain't, I can't do that one yet. Nope, can't do that one. Heart ain't there yet. Maybe I'll get there. How are you gonna get there? If you want to achieve, watch this, guys. Crazy. Single sisters, if you want God to bring you the ultimate man, single brothers, if you want God to bring you the ultimate woman, you know what you need to do? Read the Bible, pray, worship, stay in church. Not Match.com, Christian Mingle, the next singles meeting down there. You don't need to do that. The Bible specifically says it's not good for man to be alone. That includes women. Now, listen, please, because I know some of your stories. That's not to say if you met your spouse on that thing, that's a bad thing. Please, that's not a I'm not trying to like go, you messed up. That's not it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God can use that stuff too, absolutely. But if you want the best from God and your life is filled with those things and you met your spouse there, praise God. Did that make sense there? Because I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Because it's not to say he doesn't use those things. You understand what I meant? Whatever it is that you're looking for God, if it's in his plan, you will find it in prayer, reading the word, church, and worship. You don't have to do these things. You understand? Goodness, I feel like I'm losing somebody here. Okay. Verse 25, woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Remember I said I had to water the word down? Here we go. Let me put some water in your word. Let me put some water, because do you realize there are people in this world, Christian people, who have no idea where the next meal is coming from? They're out in the desert right now looking for some dead carcass, dead, bugs. When we had a friend of mine back long ago, Chet, when he was in the jungle, and they would hunt rats at night as the sun was going down, and the rats were on the move because that's what they had to eat. You can't go to the grocery store. You can have stacks of gold. It's not going to buy you nothing when you're in the middle of the jungle, guys. They had to go kill their own food. And you know what they wasted of it? There's a great picture with Chet with a rat foot in his mouth. He's chewing on the end of the rat foot's hanging out of his mouth. What was that? He goes, oh, we found this rat. It was like this big. I was trying to get every bit of marrow out of that bone. Thanks for sharing that story with me, Chet. That was beautiful. $5 foot long. Pew. And now he says, here's what you can do. If those things have not convicted you yet, again, you're a liar, but I say to you who hear, you can circle that word for hear and right next to it, listen. I say to you who listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this. Those first things come with a change of heart. These next things come with obedience. Here's what separates the wheat from the chaff, as it were. Here's what separates the men from the boys, as the saying goes. Here's where you put your big boy pants on or your big girl shirt on. You ready? These things here suck. You could circle a whole thing and write, this sucks. But this is your call, Christian. This is how you behave. This is not what you feel, because you ain't never going to feel these things. This is what you do, because this is what Christ did. You ready for it? Seatbelt time. Love your enemies. That word for enemies there, that's not like the guy at work that stole your deal. That's not like the guy at the gym that said something. That's like somebody who tries to hurt you, who tried to steal your stuff, the person who might want to do you real harm. That's your real enemy. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Why in the world would you do that? Because that's what we do, Christians. Everything else is make-believe. Do you understand this, guys? To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Yeah, that'll happen. From him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Should I tell him that story about the gas station? So we're at the gas station, right? We're in Orlando. And I shouldn't tell that story, honey.
Well, which one? We had so many.
We had a few of them. It's a great weekend. We're at the gas station in Orlando, right? And I drive a diesel, and my wife's truck is gas. And we had them both. So I pull up, and there's no diesel. Oh, well. So she pulls up, and Austin's driving, and he didn't know that the gas thing was on the other side. So he pulls up in back of me, but the gas thing's on the other side. Now, there's a girl in a car next to it, and I look at her, and I go, are you getting out? And she's, you know, kind of a Hispanic ghetto-looking girl. So she looks at me and I go, are you moving? Because I, don't look at me. Sorry, never mind, you know, whatever. So Austin backs up and he backs up. All of a sudden, some kid comes wrong. He starts walking. And she, he's going like that to her. And she gets out and she starts talking Spanish to him. And he looks at me and goes, what, is there a problem? Is there a problem? And I speak enough Spanish to know he was saying that he wasn't happy with me. So I'm like, no, dude, no problem, no compromiso, no problema, you know, it was a mistake type of thing. But now she's getting out of the car and he's getting loud. Now I got a friend with me who is not a brother in the Lord, but he's a very close friend of mine. And he gets out and he's like, what? What? You got some F you? You know, and I'm like, oh. So I'm grabbing Mark and I say, Mark, will you cut the crap, please? And now Matt gets out of the car. And then I was like, strike, he's going to strike me on the cheek and I'm going to have to turn the other cheek, right? No, he's not. That's not the way it's going to go down. You know what I mean? And now this girl, and I say this, believe me, and I don't say this in a joking way, I think he was a tranny, which I don't care about. It didn't make no difference to me. But I don't know if they were trying to do this whole equal rights thing. I don't know what was going on, but it didn't look like a woman at all, but it was dressed like a woman. She, he, I don't know how to use pronouns properly. Right? And then Michelle gets out and starts speaking Spanish to her. It's like, man, I forgot Michelle speaks fluent. Tell her I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. You know, it wasn't. So she starts talking, but now Michelle's like, I ain't getting anywhere with her either. But now I'm thinking, this girl's going to get her brother, he's going to get him stomped. Because how, I'm not going to be able to hold back Mark, Matt, and Austin. Now, the dude was mad at me. I didn't care. But let me tell you something. If it was my son-in-law or Matt pumping the gas, and I saw them getting all loud with him, and I'm telling you flat out, I don't do that whole, you can come at me, no problem. You don't come at my son. You don't come at my friends. That's when I become, you know, idiot Ryan. So I'm like, I'm trying to quell this thing out. I'm like, Michelle, speak to your people here thing, you know what I mean? And she was like, I tried. It's just. So they pull out and they actually drive to the other side. Now they're going to get their gas on the other side. It's like, whew, that's over, right? Well, Austin gets in the truck, tries to start it, and also on the truck won't start. So I'm like, this is great. We're going to get into a war right here. Boy, that would have been hard. This stuff ain't easy, guys. This is a different life we're living than what we used to. For some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But some of you guys are like, you know, some of you, especially some of you ladies, what's the big deal? It's like, listen, that's a struggle for us as men, especially men that come from the life we go right back to old, you know what I mean? He's just sitting right back there. He's like here. And he's like waiting to come here. It's not a far ride. And it don't take much, and it certainly don't take long, right? But this is our calling, to love those who hate us, to turn the cheek when people want to smack us. This is our calling. This is what makes us different. And you want to know the great thing about this, guys? And I say that facetiously, this is why they hate us. And this is when they'll hate us. Man, at one point, I finally get the thing calmed down. I said to him, hey, Dios bendiga, God bless you guys. I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry it went down. You think they were like, oh, no, it's cool, just misunderstanding. That wasn't the way it was going down. They wanted, the girl wanted to get, you want to get your brother beat up or something? I mean, what are you doing? And you think, how do you think we would have felt if we were stomped that kid? I mean, even if you just say, just bang, one time lay him down. It's like, hey, listen, we had to. You had no choice in the matter. Listen, I'm dead serious. Sometimes you got no choice in the matter. You just got to put someone. I taught my son, when my son first started driving a car, now my son is 16, 17 years old, and he's driving to Fort Lauderdale to go to school, and he's got to go through some pretty tight neighborhoods. And I told him, listen, I had to sit him down. My son, who's a very strong, could handle himself in a cage on the mat, no problem. But my son's not street. He didn't grow up like I grew up. And I had to explain to him, listen, you're at a gas station. You're at a restaurant. You're at a stop. Here's what happens. People will walk up to you, and they will say to you, hey, man, how's it going? Can I get some money from you? And you put your hand out, and you back them up. You say, hey, no, I'm sorry, no. Now, if you want to give him something, you give him something. You pray for him. You pray with your eyes open, son. You tell them the first time, no, back up. The second time they keep asking you, you get loud and you go, no, I said back up. The third time they walk to you, you lay them right down, son. You lay them right down. You hit them with everything you got, right at the point of the jaw, not in the head, and you lay them down and you get in your car and you drive away. I am not going to lose you for being stupid. But let me tell you what happens when you get in the car and you drive away. Even when you had no choice, the conviction of God falls upon you in such a way you can't get it off. And you're like, why did that happen? And here's what happened. You'll come to me and I'll tell you, listen, you had no choice in the matter. And I'll try to comfort you and I'll try to make you feel better. It won't help. The Lord will be kicking your butt. The spirit inside you that yearns for the love of people will be mourned. It will be grieved. Hate does not exist in the heart of a true Christian. Even when you had to defend yourself, you send a soldier overseas, they come back burdened because even though what they did, they had to do, it doesn't make it easier. Am I right? Soldiers, Marines, airmen, seamen, you live with that stuff. You see them at night sometimes when you sleep. This ain't an easy life, guys. Look. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And what he means is, somebody comes to you and wants your jacket, give me your shirt also. What? I work hard for this. I'm not just giving it away. I'm sorry, that's your call. Well, I don't like that call. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. That's called the golden rule, guys. And it's not do unto others as they've done to you. It's do unto others as you want them to do to you. And it's not stipulatory. It's not like if somebody does you wrong, you can do them wrong. It's not how it works. Guys, this is hard stuff. He's given us the standard here, and it's a bear. Verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Oh, man, I remember that. I remember thinking I was such a good Christian and realized I still had some people who, you don't like me, I don't like you. You know, go to heaven, whatever. And he says, that's not how it works for us. Real Christianity is loving those who hate you. Oh, I don't like this Bible study at all, guys. I don't like that. So God says, unless you love those who hate you, you don't get no credit for it. He says, people in the world, people who hate everybody, still love those who love them. You get no credit for that. You want extra credit on that one? And here's, I remember reading this for the first time going, you know, this makes sense. Does this make sense? Of course we're supposed to do something different. It makes too much sense. That's the problem. That's the problem here. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Does this make any sense at all? This is the type of Bible study where people hopefully go, I can't do this. This Christianity thing ain't for me. Now you're starting to understand. You cannot do this with anything else but the power of God. He cut you right down to the bone today. He took a knife and he sliced you right down. Remember what we prayed from the beginning? The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces the division of soul and spirit. There's a difference between your soul and your spirit right here. You can't feel this stuff. You can't, Did you hear that ridiculousness? Give to people and don't ask for it back. Lend to people and hope you don't get. What kind of, who, we're going to go broke if we do that. You mean then you'll be poor? Yeah, and then we'll be blessed because we're poor. I don't like this Bible study one bit. And I don't. Last thing, and this is just the last couple of verses, and then we'll be done. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And lastly, he talks about the idea of the sovereignty of God in your life when it comes to giving. He says, if you give to others, don't worry, God keeping record, and he'll give it back to you. And the only last question, close your Bible, one question I ask you now. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the things that I told you today, if you have a Bible and they were written in red, that means the Lord Jesus Christ said it? Bob? Go ahead, Bob. Who drove you crazy? That was a short drive. They went to, stand up, Bob, so everyone could hear.
We brought a bunch of stuff, and we come back to the car about 3 hours later, and I'm parked in the front of my van, and this guy pulls up, unfortunately older than me, I don't know, about 90, with one of those Vietnam ads, and he says, my doctor told me to go to Publix, and I live in Tamarack. We're about, what, 20-something miles, easy. 25 miles up there. He says, I don't know where I am. I said to her, I want to get back to McNair at King's Point. I knew I had, you know, to have a driver because I knew where he was. So we went. I said, we better let him follow us. We're in the right lane going all the way down 441 south. We get all the way to Tamarack. I make a right. He takes off the other way. I said to my wife, we did our good deed.
Nice. That's right. And that sometimes it's the most, is at the most inconvenient time as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny that he dipped on us.
He dipped on us.
He told us where he lived.
He lived. I knew where he lived.
And
exactly.
The next thing you know, he's making this turn. Oh, where did he go?
I hope we figured out where he was, right?
I know. That's
just like that movie, like that girl. Where was I going again? That's a good story, bro. That's the heart of it. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. You understand that, guys? Do you believe it? That God's looked down and said, Bob and Cindy, you know what? Well done. I got you on the gas. I got you on the time. I got you.
It's going about 30 miles an hour in the right lane.
Well, there wasn't a lot of gas used up then.
25 miles on four. Every red light. 25 miles. Please. And I got the big van. He's got a little car.
And then she made you take her to a restaurant afterward? Cindy, were you proud of him after it, though?
I was very proud.
All right.
And it was his idea.
I think they were the first couple I ever married, so I'm proud of you guys. You guys have been awesome. Hey, let's pray. Ask God to bless our hearts to this Bible study. Father God, this is one of those studies, God, that we're like, are you kidding me? How are we supposed to do this? God, this is one of these studies where we're left with nothing but you and us. So make sense of it, God. The convictions of our life, the things that have happened for, may it only be for the furtherance of the gospel, God. Please help us to give and hope to get nothing back, to love our enemies, turn the cheek, to all those things, to just do to others as we want them to do to us. God, give us that heart. Thank you for your word, which is so powerful and so convicting, God. May my brothers and sisters receive your spirit today. If there's anybody in here, God, who does not have your spirit, who cannot and knows they cannot do these things, and so in need of your spirit, God, may your spirit fall upon them. Prepare them for the good works that you set before us. We love you and thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.